Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the official Tennis.com podcast, featuring professional coach and community leader, Kamal Murray.
Welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm your host, Kamal Murray, and we are here with all things tennis, Mr. Tim Stollard. Tim is the general manager and director of the Busch Tennis Center down in San Antonio, Texas. And they are hosting a really cool tennis event this weekend. It is the, Tim, go ahead, give us the name.
Yeah, it's the San Antonio International Team Tennis Championships, and it's at Freeman Coliseum in San Antonio. However, the Busch Tennis Center is way out in West Texas, about 300 miles away in Midland, Texas. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic of this event.
Yeah, we want to hear a lot about that, because I'll be honest with you, you know, I built 27 tennis courts in the city, and the Busch Tennis Center has the exact same mission as I do, and I'd never heard of it. So we want to dig into that. But first, let's dig into your background. You have put on more than 50, you know, ATP, USTA Pro Circuit events, assistant coach at University of Texas, spent time on the court with Andy Roddick. Tell me about your pedigree, where you come from, how you got in the game, and how you're able to travel through so many different levers of the sport.
Well, I actually it started in Rockford, Illinois, way up north, and started playing tennis and it was one of those things. After my parents got divorced a couple of times, I loved baseball, but trying out for baseball teams was more problematic than just entering tennis tournaments. So I kind of fell into tennis through that and loved the sport. And you know, like you said, went on to coach at University of Texas and started, just had some great players. And that's really how I got into starting to run events, is I was trying to get wild cards and help out players that I was coaching. And way back in the day, I had two really great players in Texas. One was Julie Scott, who was an All-American at Stanford. And, couldn't get wild cards. And the other one was Elizabeth Schmidt, who played at UCLA and went on. Now she's a head coach at Rice, and very deserving kids. And the USTA said, you know, if you start running tournaments, you get the wild cards. So at one point I had 13 challengers across the US, and some of those challengers like Champaign Urbana are still moving along. So
yeah,
it was a interesting process.
So we've held challengers the last 2 years, and it is a tough business model. To have 13 of them, you know, they struggle to make money. They break even at best. To have 13 of them, you must have had a model that worked, because no one would ask for it 13 times if you don't. So tell us about your experience with challengers, because we see challengers in the U.S., you know, come on and off the calendar, right? And it hurts our U.S. players from, like you said, creating that vertical for where they're in the collegiate pathway. They want to try to handle the pro tour. Can't get a wild card. Not enough events to spread the wild cards out. Right. How did you make the challenger model work?
Yeah, you know, I was able to get national sponsors. I mean, it covered everything. So I had great sponsors, AOL, Porsche Cars North America, Bear Stearns, Health South. So I just went out. I had a great mentor, a big advertising company, GSD&M. The founders of that really kind of showed me how to put media value behind packages, and I found a kind of a good formula. So, I would have literally just, you know, Porsche would say, we need, you know, these markets, and I would jump on a plane and go to Miami and find facilities. But it was a nice problem, because I had all the financials together. That's, you know, you look at the challenger that was in Dallas for years. It was over 20 years that they had it at TBRM. So lots of great challengers throughout the years.
Now, when you would sell those packages, would the sponsor take all 13, or like the major sponsor take all 13, then you add on locals, or was it, you know, and the people would pick off whichever ones they wanted in the markets?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, we'd have our major sponsors would take all the markets, and then we'd sell kind of patron local because you always want the local community involved. So we'd, right. we'd have local patron packages, and you know, we really did our best to make it a fun event, you know, with pro-ams and music and access to the players. And, you know, for me, a big part of it was telling the story of the challengers. I mean, I love challengers because you have the veterans that are hanging on that come to get the points. You got the top juniors in the world, and they clash at the challenger level. Yeah. And I'll never forget. I was in a drive through in McDonald's in Austin, Texas, and I got a call from Andre Agassi's brother asking for a wild card into Burbank. And at that time, I'd committed. I had a player, Brandon Coop, and Robert Abendroth. I committed my two wild cards. So I couldn't give him a wild card, but I was hoping the USTA would. And you know the story. I mean, he got a wild card. He played against Sargis Sargsyan in the finals. They called it the Battle of Armenia. And it was a great tournament, and it was great to see him come back a year later. He was already back to number four in the world. So it was really just an inspiration to see Andre.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that one of the things we must underestimate is like really the job of these challengers, right, especially in the U.S. soil, is to help promote the next generation of player, right? So I always like to hear a famous story. So our challengers, our wild cards went to Ben Shelton last summer.
That's awesome, right? Yeah.
Got all the way to the semis. Obviously, got to perform. Got a wild card into. Got an upgraded wild card. Got a wild card in the qualies of Cincy because he was in Chicago so long. Upgraded to the main draw. And this year, Alex Mickelson wins our event. Goes on, plays Newport. Right, gets the finals of Newport. Loses to Manorino, I think. So, tell me about another famous wild card story where you gave a wild card to someone that had some potential, and then. Other than the story you told us where you like, you know, we had a hand in that person's career.
Well, a couple of them. One, in Rockford, Illinois, back to Rockford, Illinois, I had a challenger there in February following the Midland, Michigan challenger that's still going. Yep. And I got a call from one of my idols, Nick Bolitari, and said, I've got this girl. She's number one in the world. She's not going to make the cut for the challenger. And we think she has a lot of potential. It was Anna Kournikova. So gave her a wild card and she won it. And, you know, I believe, you know, 5 months later, she was in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. And what's cool about Anna is Anna came back and we've done a lot of charity events. And following, we did an event in Beaumont with Pete Sampras. And she flew after that over to Horseshoe Bay to do a free clinic with my wife and kids. And it was the first kids courts. It was the Andy Roddick kids courts out at Horseshoe Bay. But she flew over. You know, did it absolutely for free to give back to the kids, and she was amazing. But it's really funny that you know that started when she was 13 years old in frigid Rockford, Illinois, in February.
So you mentioned your wife and kids. Do your daughters play at all?
They did. They're older now. They're one's graduated from A&M. She's an architect, and my other daughter's about to start her master's in communications at A&M.
Now, did you try your hand at coaching them? You know, obviously, I'm trying to coach my kids. And I'm trying not to let what happens on the tennis court blend into the car ride home or blend into the dinner table. But sometimes that's really hard. Did you try your hand at coaching them? And how did that go?
Yeah, I did. My wife was really their primary coach. And my wife was a great player, All-American at Texas, coached at Texas. She was number one in the Southerns, finalist at the Easter Bowl, just a great player. And we are very different coaching styles. My wife is very... you know, very, very fired up with the girls. So I was a lot more laid back. And, you know, when I go to their matches, I'd have the newspaper, my Starbucks, and they go, Dad, you're not even watching my match. Of course, I'm watching every point. But when they look at me, I've got my newspaper up and my coffee and just kind of downplaying it. But that they were great. You know, we're really proud of our daughters. And we officially became grandparents about a little over a year ago. And it's but, you know, tennis was just great experience for their life. And it, you know, for me, it changed my life. You know, growing up in Rockford, Illinois, my dad was an automaker, tool and die maker. Neither one of my parents even knew how to keep score in tennis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, after a couple of divorces, I had a wonderful coach, Pat Wicks, that gave me a lot of free lessons. And, you know, I just worked my butt off and it opened doors. And, you know, it's that's what we're really inspired to do with the Busch Ace Outreach Program is create that opportunity. And I mean, we have 100% any kid that comes, we provide full scholarships, partial scholarships. We turn down no one. That's our mission. So We're real proud of that. And we've helped a lot of kids, and we're expanding that throughout the state of Texas. And then, you know, happy to really help, you know, great foundations like the Bryan Brothers Foundation, John Isner. My wife and I, we went out and helped Sloan. Sloan had over 300 kids bussed in from Compton at USC. And my wife and I went out and helped with clinics out there to help Sloan. But she does amazing work year round. So there's a lot of great stories and a lot of great things that, you know, people see these great players on the court, but I'm really inspired for a lot of things they're doing off the court.
So tell me about the Busch Tennis Center. Obviously, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know that the Bushes were big tennis people. I knew the Koch brothers are big tennis people down there in Texas, but didn't know the Busch, you know, Tennis Center exists. So tell me about how the Busch Tennis Center came along and how you ended up taking the job.
Oh, in 2015, I had John Isner, Sam Querrey, and the Bryans, and we did a 4-day run where we did Atlanta, Nashville, Midland, and then Camarillo, California to do something for the Bryan Brothers for their foundation. So I had those four guys, 2015, went through just to do a 1-day event, and just started talking to the people that founded the Busch Tennis Center, and they were having some challenges with the business model, asked me to hire me as a consultant initially. And I just said, you know, here's all the things that need to be done. And they're like, well, we want to hire you. I'm like, well, I don't live here. I live in Austin. My wife's director of tennis at Horseshoe Bay Resort. My company's in Austin. They're like, well, we don't care if you live here. Just come and check into the Doubletree Hilton downtown Midland and come and figure this thing out. And, you know, it was really neat because at that point I was working, I was trying to build a similar facility next to Dell Diamond with Reed and Reese Ryan, Nolan Ryan's kids. They owned the minor league ballpark there. And we were kind of going down that road to, you know, maybe buy the ATP event in Memphis, build a facility like this. And, you know, we're going down that road, but there was a lot of politics and just, you know, dealing with governments and stuff. I go out to West Texas and they're like, you know, here's the keys to the place. How much money do you need? Let's get it going. I mean, it's just an amazing opportunity. And we're on 35 acres. On the far west side, we just opened a $4 million park designed for special needs children. So we got zip lines. Everything is set up where kids can play despite, you know, physical challenges. They can play side by side with all kids. So we have a $4 million park. We just broke ground on a new 90,000 square foot athletic center, which will have 5 indoor basketball courts, 15 volleyball courts, a 75-yard turf indoor field. And then Lance Hooten, who I actually met through Andy Roddick, was, you know, traveled for with Andy. It's going to be a sports performance training center. And Lance Hooten's coming in and using his expertise to develop that as well. So, you know, it's a big campus, and it's all set up as a nonprofit. It's a legacy for the Bush presidents. And, you know, I feel like it, to some degree, I get to be Santa Claus because I get to really help a lot of kids. And that's super important to me. And we've got a staff that is just amazing, that just cares so much about helping kids and really developing a great event, a great product.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Now, you're also building indoor tennis courts. And what people don't know is, like, in these southern markets, right, places where you just say California, Texas, Atlanta, Florida even, people are like, why do you need indoor courts in those markets? Sometimes it is so hot, right, that you just need the roof for the shade, right? Or sometimes, like in Florida, it'll rain all day, right, and you need the roof for the rain. So tell us why you would need indoor courts in West Texas.
Well, a lot of times it's just too windy. I mean, we are just out in the middle of nowhere. It's flat as can be. And, you know, I mean, as they say, there's not a lot out there, but there's a lot under there. I mean, we're on the biggest reserve of oil, you know, on planet Earth. The Permian Basin and the Delaware Basin, you know, come right out of Midland, West Texas. And but it's flat, high winds. So we lose a lot of days where, you know, the wind gets up above 25 miles an hour. It's not playable. Dust is blowing. And then, you know, we have 115 degree days in the summer, and then it drops to, you know, 25 degrees. So it's just all over the map. So indoor courts will definitely help us. We're looking at doing 8 indoor hard and 4 indoor clay. And there's no way to do outdoor clay. It would just blow away. So
it would be so dry. Yeah. And it'll just go. You'd be, you know, every year we bring in 12 tons of clay to sort of re-top off our red hard true courts. I mean, I would only imagine how much money you'd spend on.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't last.
No chance. So tell me about the event. This weekend, you got the event coming. You've got Mumphies in town. You got Venus, Vika, Kim Clijsters, the Bryan brothers. Tell us about, A, how you started the event. B, who else is coming? And C, what the proceeds go to.
Right. Okay. Well, I came up with the idea of the event. I wanted to do something that would not only bring professional tennis to San Antonio, because if you look at the Texas market, you know, obviously you have the Dallas Open, the amazing event at River Oaks. Austin now has the ATX Open. San Antonio needs a professional tournament. So one, I wanted to bring professional tennis to San Antonio. I love doing business and events in San Antonio. They've got a great pro culture. The pros help support each other program. And you know that a lot of times you go to a city and everyone stays on their own, kind of on their own reservation. Here, the pros work great together and really promote and each other's event, really go to grow the sport of tennis. But I also wanted to do something that featured the top colleges in Texas. So we came up so that each team consists of these top pros, but we also have top players from Baylor, Texas, Texas A&M, Trinity, Incarnate Word, Southwestern, all playing. Then we have two of the top junior tennis academies in the country. Nukes Tennis Academy is playing for Team San Antonio. And of course, Austin Tennis Academy is playing for Austin. So, and all the points count. So these kids, you know, for Austin Tennis Academy and Nukes, they get to come out in a big arena, you know, with Mumphies on the bench and Venus on the bench. And those are your teammates. I mean, how cool is that for these kids to get that opportunity? And, you know, and then also to be around all the great college players. So it's going to be a really fun event.
So we host, you know, a pro event every year. And I think, you know, initially it was like, well, why do you want to host a pro event? And one of the things that I, you know, first of all, you got to do it all. If you're going to do tennis in communities, you got to do from red ball all the way to the high performance high school, all the way to homeschool. You got to host college tournaments, right, and you got to do pro events. You got to do it all if you're going to do it right. And right, one of the reasons why we host pro events in the city of Chicago is, A, it's a great city, right? Third or fourth largest city. I know us in Houston are fighting for that third spot now.
Yeah.
But kids have got to see it to be it. Right. And so in a city where people have 41 Bulls games they can attend, right? They got the Chicago Sky now, right? WNBA team.
Yeah.
These kids will not stick with tennis if they do not, they can't get up close and personal, right? That is how you fall in love with the sport. Is that also what you use to sell this event and the reason for this event connected to the academy?
Yeah, to give kids to be inspired. And that's part of it. On Sunday of this event, we have the Bush Ace Outreach Program. We have underwritten over 40 high schools from all over the state, from El Paso, which is probably 500, 600 miles from San Antonio. But El Paso to Amarillo, we have 40 high schools coming in, almost 900 kids. And we're doing three clinics, one at McFarland, one at Trinity, and one at the Freeman Coliseum. And these are all free clinics that we're underwriting for these kids to get on the courts with these college players and the pros and be able to talk to them, hear why it's so important to give 100% every day, hear their stories and be able to have that connection and see that these are real people. That's what inspires me. I'm so excited about that clinic on Sunday. You know, I've never done a clinic with 800 kids, but fortunately, I've got Murphy Jensen, Wayne Bryan, Luke Jensen also coming in. So we got an A team of coaches to help with it.
Oh, those are the Energizer Bunnies. I mean, you can put 1,000 kids out there, and they're gonna have more energy than all the kids put together. I mean, this is like the best in the business.
But that, you know, that's what's so important to me, for these kids to be able to. You know, they live in very rural areas. A lot of these are Title I schools. We have several NJTL programs, which, you know, I think it's so important to have positive role models. And I think tennis is such a great game to expose kids to. I know it changed my life.
So let me ask you this, back to the Challenger Tour, right? Because this seems to be your wheelhouse, right? Putting on events, making them cash flow, making them sustainable. What do you think we need to do to keep the Challenger Tour alive? You know, I know we have a challenger. One of the things USCA has done is provide financial support for the prize money, you know, some of the signage and banners. They've sort of stepped up and done that. what do you think we need to do to keep that model? Because that model is important for guys like the Tommy Pauls when he was starting out, the Francis Tiafoes when he was starting out, the Ben Sheltons, right? Like when you look, think about European guys like Monfils, they could train around Europe every weekend and pick up ATP points, right? And before you know it, they're 80 in the world, right? And you've never heard of them, but somehow
those guys, they don't even have to leave Spain. They can just play challengers in Spain and, you know, get into probably the top 50 or top 100 of the world just playing challengers there, where so many of our guys have to, you know, borrow money and go to, you know, wherever, to India chasing points. And you know what? You also, your performance, if you're traveling, most people, there's an advantage to playing in your country. You're comfortable with the language. You're comfortable with the food. You're comfortable with a lot of things. So I think it really positively impacts your performance. So the more we can have these challengers, I used to say, I thought the most important thing the USTA could do is just create more challengers, because just create point opportunities, you know, let everyone fight it out, but just create the opportunity. Let our kids compete here in the United States. And you asked me a question. Here's what I would do if I controlled everything. I would leverage the sponsorships of the US Open, which is obviously hugely successful. And the sponsors that are in there, I would say part of this sponsorship has to go, and you're going to get exposure in these other markets at these challenger events. So whether that's Chase or whatever, you know, you carve a little bit out, because there's so much money going to the U.S. Open. But if we really want to stabilize tennis and have a backbone, it's challengers. I believe that's the key is having a lot of challengers in the U.S. That'll develop players. There's no politics. You know, they all get, you get in, you win, you lose, right? There's no politics involved in that. But it's just about opportunity, right? And that's what we all want. We just want to have an opportunity. And for our American players, if they've got to spend all of their resources, you know, traveling around the world to chase points, it's a tough model to be successful in.
So we talk about politics, and you're running the Bush Tennis Center. Can either of the Bushes really play?
Yeah, they were good, you know, President George H.W. Bush, he was a super competitive player. He always would play Chris Evert's charity events. I've got some pictures that the family had shared with us, and you know, you start looking through these pictures, and he's at the net, and he's got his little tennis sweater on. And I look, and his partner serving behind him is Bjorn Borg. I'm like, that's a good thing to be president, right? I have another one of him playing with Pete Sampras, but they're amazingly generous. Just, you know, I just really have a fondness for the Bush presidents and their family and all they've done for, you know, for our country, but then also the sport of tennis. They've been great ambassadors of tennis and supportive of our tennis center.
And last question, you spend time on the court with Andy Roddick, right? Anyone who meets Andy has a great Andy story, because Andy is like, whatever comes up, comes out. He's Mr. Color. He makes everything real and plain. Give us a good Andy story.
Well, this is one of the funny things. Is way back when I was director of tennis at Barton Creek Resort, and I'd coached at Texas, and you know, my last year at Texas, we got to the semifinals of NCAA's, lost to Stanford. The following year, they won the national championship, but I accepted a position as director of tennis at Barton Creek Resort in Austin. And at that time, in my junior development program, I had Andy Roddick, Drew Brees, Chris Mim, who was a back, you know, center for the Lakers, and Django Walker. It turned out to be a great country singer and songwriter. And Django's actually playing the player party here with Pat Green here in San Antonio. But Andy, you know, this was right before they moved to Macy's. So, you know, Andy and John were out at Barton Creek, and then they, but you know, Andy always wanted to be on the court with the 18-year-olds. That's what I remember. He was just feisty, and you know, he'd get out there and he was just fearless. I mean, he would just go charge. And I had some, you know, Trey Phillips, who is a number one player, ended up as number one player at Texas, and you know, top doubles player. You know, Andy would go charge in the net against Trey, and I was afraid he was going to get killed a few times. But just, you know, you have no idea that group of kids would grow up and do amazing things. But it's been neat. And a couple of years ago, Drew Brees came out and did a fundraiser for us out in Midland, and just really proud of those days and seeing them come up to do so much. And what Andy's done with the Andy Roddick Foundation is great. So that's one of the things we really want to highlight with this program, is all the great work these guys are doing off the court too.
Well, tell us one more time where people can get tickets. If they're in the Texas area, And they want to see some of these big names. You said Vika, Venus, Clijsters, Monfils will be around. How do people get tickets?
Yeah, just go to sanantonioitc.com, International Tennis Championships, itc.com, just San Antonio ITC. You can see the website. You can learn more about the nonprofits and the work that we're doing and the other players are doing. And you can get tickets. There's a link there. And it's going to be Friday night at 7 p.m. at Freeman Coliseum. Then we have two sessions Saturday, 2 and 7, and then a final session on Sunday at 2. Really this cool. is going to be an annual event, so we're really looking forward to building this and helping kids throughout the U.S. And as I say, our goal is to help kids from Compton to Kiev. And like I said, I was just so inspired by Sloane Stephens when we went out there, and you know, incredibly inspired by Alina Svitolina and what she's done. And it was really neat when Gail was over at San Antonio Country Club, and we got out of the car. He was FaceTiming with Alina and his baby. And it's just, you know, they're just such a fun couple to watch and just do amazing, amazing work.
Yeah. Well, as somebody that's, you know, run community programs in Chicago, the work is hard. I want to commend you on sort of being committed to doing it. It is not easy, sometimes thankless, hard to make these things cash flow and sustainable, but you've you know, one of the best in the business. So, Tim, I want to thank you for taking time.
Thank you for what you do for the sport. And, you know, I'm in Chicago. That's my hometown. It was actually Rockford, by call. I consider it Chicago. And, definitely a Cub and a Sox fan, but more of a Cub fan. I miss all the great pizza and great sports of Chicago. Definitely want to go back there next summer.
All right. Well, this has been the Tennis.com podcast with Tim Stoller. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you.